Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quicker. It's really weird that we're doing it on Zencastr, because normally when I do on Cubase, I actually can hear my own intro to make me feel semi-important that I have my own intro, which is a generic intro that my boss gave me. But that is not the point. Welcome to episode 16. Yeah, we've been doing that for this long. And I still haven't been cancelled, the standard intro to the show. So everything's all going on. This week is weird. Two things. I remembered that Inglourious Basterds was released in 2009 the other day. That made me old. I can't believe that movie was in 2009. Not the point. And then secondly, I am alone. I am actually alone physically, but I am joined by two members of the band. Oh, what are we called? Green Horizon. Pitch their socials. Yeah, we're joined by two members of my band. Oh, well, it's not my band. It's Colin and Mark. Yay me. Colin, what instrument do you play?
I play the guitar.
Gross. Mark, what instrument do you play, rhythm section buddy?
the simple guitar, the bass.
Yeah, we're all in it together. And we just played a show. When did we play?
Last Saturday, yeah.
God, I don't remember anything. What's going on? Jesus Christ. What did I do? Oh, I remember. I was on holiday. That was
why. Yeah, that's why you've been on holiday. You've been enjoying yourself too much.
Please, they tried to make me eat foods. Meals of food. I did not enjoy meals of food, but then in everyone's fate, I lost weight when I came home. So suck it, society. I'm still winning. Literally, my doctor on Thursday is going to be like, you stupid idiot. And I'm like, how dare you? Yeah, so we're all here. And the podcast gang is, of course, here. Now, Val's just ran out the door, but she is here in spirit. She will be back in a minute. The Giggly Wiggly is here for all Giggly Wiggly of Val needs. The real Akumas are here. And of course, big boy Papa Kuma is also here. So we are all here together. And there's three of us and the podcast gang. And I'm very disappointed because Colin was meant to come here this evening, but you went where? Manchester.
I'm Birmingham. I had to come. It is a real place.
Third world country.
It is. You can't believe. There must have been only one service station in Birmingham, because I think the entirety of Birmingham was in the service station.
Jesus, where did you buy your pot noodles? Free Pentos.
I stole one of Dan's this morning, but that's something for...
You stole Dan's Free Pentos?
No, pot noodle. Chicken and mushroom.
Oh, okay. Dan always tells me that he's with the bourgeois of the food. He likes foods. And now he's eating a pot noodle.
Well, it's the only thing in his cupboard this morning when I woke up.
I bet that wasn't even... Wait, why were you at dance? Wait a minute. Gay romantic love is going on that we don't know about. Me and Mark having a nice conversation. You come in here and now you're like sleeping with Dan.
Well, you know, he's my partner in both business and life. So
that's,
you know,
Phil's girlfriend, that. See how she favours that one. So while you were being gay with Dan, you stole the pot noodle. Anyway, yeah. The point was, is I provided you with sweet treats that you wanted, and now there's food in my house, Colin.
Oh, you should eat it.
Go away. I have French fancies because that was our theme that you wanted, and I'm not going to bring them on Saturday. I'm going to throw them at a seagull.
I do like a French fancy.
You get nothing now because you're eating pot noodles. But anyway, that's not the point. Mark, do you remember how we came up with this theme for the show?
We were talking about horrible, horrible things that you can pour into your eyes. And this
these on were, a rainy night,
yeah,
it really was. So,
yeah, it was kind of. I think we ended up sort of chatting about worst films, grimmest films, and that kind of thing. And I think you probably won, if there is such a thing as winning. But yeah, the French seem to do it quite well. And
I've seen some stuff. Yeah. I've been in some. No, it was a beautiful rainy evening outside the studio, and we just hit upon. That was the day, Mark, that you showed me that you had a Lost tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, my God.
It's the numbers.
I've never met someone that invested in Lost, so, you know. Colin, wasn't that another? Oh, yeah, and that was the other thing. So me and Mark are like, you know, woofing, shooting it, you know, talking about all these great films. And Colin was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I watch The Crystal Maze and Couples Come Dine With Me. And we were like, what are you doing? Go away and watch these dreadful films so that you can never comfortably watch a movie ever again.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, when I'm watching The Crystal Maze, I don't have an awful lot of time left because there's a lot of back catalogue. I think they reissued it, if that's such a thing. And I don't have time. So, I don't watch horror films.
I like to watch The Krypton Factor from the 80s. what are you laughing for? I'm being serious, right? I like to watch it on YouTube, and then I like to bet on which person I think is going to win. And then, like, you know, they're always like, there's just one woman, and then there's like three dudes, and then the woman's just like powers ahead, and then they do the agility course. Oh, and then it all goes downhill for her. She can't climb over the wall.
It's all about landing the plane.
Oh, they all messed up. What about the bit with the puzzle, you know, where they have to like build like something weird, and it's like they've got the building blocks and they just look like adult preschoolers. Why is no one else watching 80s reruns of Krypton Factor? My spicy round is I absolutely nail the general knowledge. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm smart to a degree.
What was the Annika Rice thing? Was that
Challenge Annika?
No. Was it Treasure Hunt or something like that? Was that one?
It was called Challenge Annika. I just told you.
Yeah,
and you had to do challenges with Annika, and she wore leggings a lot.
So wasn't that the one where she was flying around in helicopters and they used to chase her around with a camera?
Yeah. Oh. Wasn't it for like one of the morning TV things, wasn't it?
No. I think it was I don't know, maybe.
Have you been having fantasies about Annika Rice?
Yeah, regularly.
I always wanted in the 90s to have someone run behind me with a camera so I could feel.
Only in the 90s?
Yeah, once it got to 2000, I was like, I don't really want that anymore.
So 1990s, not interested.
Yeah, I want to be on an island now with a load of numbers and a polar bear. Like, that was what I was wanting. Which also, like, Lost was also really old when you think about it. Like, Lost was like 2004 or something.
Wow.
2003. 20... Yeah. Mark, you should know. When did Lost come out?
Oh, I'd have to go and get the DVD.
I can't believe you don't even know when this program came out and you've got a tattoo. That's unbelievable.
I'm Googling it right now. When the first episode of Lost air?
The most important thing is that I really wish that John Locke was my dad.
2004, yes. Is he? Oh my God, Mark! You've done a thing that I always do. It was 2004, by the way, everyone, audio listeners.
Nice work.
No, thanks very much. Mark, you've done a thing that I've always done because of my negligent parents. I have a thing called TV dads, and there are people who I used to raise me via the television. Mine is Sandy Cohen from the OC.
Dr. Cliff Huxtable.
Oh, I don't like those jumpers. Mark is John Locke because he wants to live in the wild and be a badass.
I just want someone to smile at me with an orange in their mouth.
Ew, that scene is so gross. Colin, who's your TV parent or dad in this case?
John Craven, I think.
Who is that?
Who's John Craven?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not on the planet.
You're the right side of 50, Rachel. It's okay.
I'm younger than you. I'm right. Okay, well, now I've got to Google who this man is. What are you even talking about?
He was News Round. He was the man who, like, kind of like, he had like really, really funky jumpers he used to wear.
Oh, I've seen him. Why do you want him to be your dad? He seems like the most old man.
Yeah.
He also did Country File.
That's it. Oh, yeah.
Country File. I'm going to go watch Country File. Can't wait to get off this podcast and watch Country File. That's your Sunday evening in the bag.
Bit of Antiques Roadshow, Country File.
Oh, me and my friend watch Antiques Roadshow together because we like to laugh at all the people being bitterly disappointed by how undervalued their product is.
It's about £3.50.
Oh, they're like, oh, well, I've looked after this lovingly for 50 years. We were watching them one the other day and this man had cigarette cases, and I love cigarette cases, like classic cigarette cases. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're going to be worth loads. And my Corey, my friend, was like, no, they're not. And then the man was like, these are like £1,000 each. I was like, suck it in your face. We also play a game where we guess who's going to win Come Dine With Me. I don't know what me and Cray do. I don't know. And then so when the people go and they do the score scar- cards, me and Cray are like, it's a 5-5. And then they're like 7. And we're like, ah! Stuff gets intense when me and Cray hang out, as you can see. Like, do you know what I mean? Watching Come Dine With Me
We should do our own like band version of Come Dine With Me. And then
I don't like food. What's wrong with you? I literally get sent away to like rehab and eat and like have hundreds of doctors at the moment. And Colin's like, let's cook meals together.
this is true. I was thinking it on the basis of bullying Chris because he has a real problem with cheese.
Yeah. Does he not like Shays?
Well, not only does he not like, I mean, I guess this is a French thing, so it's good to talk about it. But not only does he not like eating cheese, when we used to live together, we went shopping together, hand in hand.
Nice.
He wouldn't let me put the cheese in the basket. I had to carry the cheese around.
Chris is low key autistic. Yeah. I'm gonna say it.
I don't think he's low key, if I'm honest.
Chris is like low key. Like with peace and love, Chris is lovely, but sometimes he says stuff and I'm like, you're on the spectrum, bro. Like, I work with kids as my job on the spectrum. You're there, dude. You're on the spectrum. Hold my cheese. Why does he think the cheese is gonna infect the other kids?
It's cross contamination. Yeah, like I think he can taste the cheese.
You're not like opening it up and like smearing it all on everything. Yeah. You're not like getting a load of Dairylea triangles and just rubbing them on your nude thighs.
That would be a nice way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Philadelphia was the kingpin. I wasn't a Dairylea lady when I used to eat cheese. Philadelphia was where it was at. Ooh, that cream cheese. And why is it white? That's so confusing.
Yeah, it is.
We're meant to be talking about films, by the way. But this is how the Mark, you haven't done enough research. This is how the podcast goes.
Of cheese, of the films, or
oh my god, Val's back! Yay, Val!
Yeah, Val.
Don't jump on my lap because for many reasons. She went on a little holiday as well, so she's very relaxed. Oh. I just got a brand new taxidermy moon bear. Why are you laughing at my life, Colin? Jesus Christ, bring me you
a taxidermy moon bear.
So I collect taxidermy and I have a lot of dead animals in my house. If you were here, like the plan with your French fancies, you'd have seen all this gross stuff. Val's egged near me and now I'm dying. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Egg salads. So I got gifted a Asian moon bear taxidermy piece and it's huge and it's like, I have no space for it and it's this massive bear in my house now. But I mean, I love it because it's a stunning piece of work. But it was shot by my friend's great-grandfather in the Civil War when he was in...
There's also an actress, apparently, Moon Bear.
So that's nice. I wonder if her parents were hippies.
What's your favourite stuffed mammal?
What, that I have or just in general? I want.
Just,
I have?
Yeah. Yeah, well, or want. Let's
oh,
talk about
want a, I want an ostrich.
Oh.
Why is that funny?
Is Rod Hull coming around later on or something?
Going up on the roof.
He was an emu. It's a difference between an emu and an ostrich, isn't there?
A massive fundamental difference, Colin. I'm not going to get into ornithology with you. We both know that, you know, I think everyone on this pod knows two things about me. I don't like food and I love birds. So no. I think we'll just skip. Wait, did you not know that about me?
I didn't know the bird bit.
No, I didn't either.
Oh, the things we don't talk about, band. I absolutely stan birds. I love birds. I absolutely am obsessed with birds. I know all the birds. I know them all. I know all birds. I'm obsessed with them. I've got like thousands of books on birds. I absolutely adore them. Like, I love Bill Oddie. I wrote Bill Oddie a letter once, and he said, "Why are you laughing? Stop. This is my life." And I wrote Bloody a letter because they fired him off Springwatch because it was bipolar. And I was like, jog on. He's the only reason I watched this show. And then I wrote him a letter saying, I was like, I'm outraged. I love la 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 la. I have all your books. I've watched all your shows. And he sent me a signed photo back, which is now framed in my bedroom. Aww. Thanks, God. I love you, Bill Oddie. I hope you're listening to the show. Yes, there's a huge difference between emus and ostriches. Massive difference. Also, emus, you can comb the lanolin out of their feathers and people make soap from it.
Wow.
Do they?
Yeah, they're very greasy creatures.
Sorry.
But I want an ostrich. I would love a full-size ostrich or a full-size shoebill, but I don't, you know, I mean, they're very endangered creatures. Mind you, the Asian moon bear is endangered, but I mean, that was shot in the 40s, so I don't know. I won't buy modern taxidermy. I only buy antique taxidermy. I don't want to be
None of this modern shit. Ugh.
No, I just don't want to contribute to it now, obviously being very much like of a, you know, I've never eaten meat. I've been a vegan forever.
Of course.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to, you know, add to it, but do I have a lot of vintage fur coats and taxidermy and, I've got a lot of animals in formaldehyde jars, like, you know, rats and fetuses and mice and stuff. But, you know, I wouldn't buy them. My house is weird. And now I've got a full-size Asian moon bear and it's, like, huge. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. But, you know, I love it. I love these things. They're gorgeous and they have energy. And I think it's art and it's lovely. And I have a peregrine falcon and I have a hawk in my house currently. Ooh, wow. I have three foxes. Yeah, I've got rats and jars and fetuses and things. Yeah.
Is the bear like solid? Is it full?
No, he is a wall mount bear, so he's the complete hide, but the head and the paws have been taxidermied fully and the body has been tanned. But he's so big that I am actually having to move furniture to fit him on one wall that doesn't have a radiator on it, because obviously heat and anything like that damages fur. So currently he's laid out on the floor like a rug, but obviously where his hands and his head are taxidermied, it's not actually a rug. But I'm gonna have to move an entire unit and find homes for everything in this unit, because it's the only wall, it's the biggest wall in the house that can accommodate the bear.
Have you considered getting a like a stag's head, like from Evil Dead?
I really want one, but they currently go for around £500. This bear would go for a couple of grand. So,
wow.
My taxidermy is expensive. Like, the money I've invested in taxidermy is insane. But it brings me joy. And people come into your house and they're like, ew. And I'm like, yeah.
This is me.
Gaze upon my dead rats in jars. Oh, I also really want an eel in formaldehyde. Like, I'm looking for one of them. When I was in Hastings, I found a rabbit's guts, which had been like dissected, and they were like pressed in between like formaldehyde. So it was like a slab of formaldehyde, like almost, and you could like around 360 and see the internal organs and stuff like that. But the guy wanted $200 for it, and I was like, I would pay it, but I just bought a bunch of clothes because I was.
Wow.
It's a way up whether I needed clothes that actually fit me anymore or
some rabbit guts.
I wanted to, like, you could see his little kidneys and everything. I was like,
wow.
Everyone hold on to their hats because I'm about to segue. Right. Talking of guts.
Ah, well done.
Oh, thanks. Talking of skinning stuff alive.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
You're like a pro.
Mark was like, you've done this before. Yeah, episode 16, Mark. We've been at this a while. This isn't my first rodeo. What was this? Oh, we didn't plug our socials, everyone. Go follow us at Instagram at queen.horizon. Check us out. We're on Spotify at Queen Horizon. The EP's called Fairy Tales. What else do we do, guys?
We've got a show coming in.
Plug the show.
14th of September, Engine Rooms in Bow, East London. Yeah.
Is that where
it's
we're going?
Spectacular. There's two songs we have never played together, and it's happening in a couple of weeks. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but we like to do that for every show. I mean, it's not exciting unless you sort of go up there and try and play something you don't know.
I got to bring, I'm bringing Clone Baby to this one. Audio listeners, if you don't know what that means, is I have a collection of weird babies that live in a crib in my house. I'm really painting a picture of where I live right now,
so,
aren't I?
I had a question about the baby, actually, because...
Which baby? Because the
Pilot Baby was the first.
Pilot Baby.
Pilot Baby now, came to the show in Ashford, audio listeners. He wore a t-shirt that said Queen Horizon sucks.
So is this a Pilot Baby because he was the first one, like a pilot show? Or is it a Pilot Baby because he's used to flying, because you throw him? What's the backstory?
I love how Colin almost, I feel like, knows. Colin, why is he called Pilot Baby?
Because
right, then I might bring you your French fancies.
Was it because he can't see?
Yeah. So when I bought him, his eyes didn't work. And I think because he's quite old, like they were like glass. And so obviously they got all dirty and like he wouldn't open his eyes. But then after I had him a while, and I live in a very cold house, maybe that was the reason why like the glass, like, you know, cracks, whatever they like, you know, plastics and stuff do and things. And I think that it maybe something happened because then after a while he started being able to see again. So I used to call him Pilot Baby because he had no eyes. And I was like, that's the safest kind of pilot you can have. like bus driver with no legs. But yeah, there's Big Baby, there's Clone Baby, there's Pilot Baby, there's Other Baby, and then there's Benjamin and Tyler. So they're the babies that live here that freak everyone out. And they have their own crib that they live in that I painted black. So it was like Rosemary's Baby.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's so good. But Clone Baby is exactly the same as Big Baby. They're the same toy.
Hence the clone.
Yeah, Big Baby came first. But I'm going to bring Clone Baby because he's wearing a little outfit. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And I bought him for like a pound and someone had like actually dressed him in real baby's clothes. And I was like, that's weird. so Clone Baby's going to come in his little pajamas that some lady at some point must have dressed him in or something. When I bought Big Baby, this woman at the charity shop, she was like, oh, someone knitted him a whole bag of clothes. Do you want them? And I was like, yeah, but no, but what? Can I see the bag of clothes? I'm like, can I see said bag of clothes? It was a whole event, and he wears knitwear that some lady knitted him. And Val sometimes wears knitwear. So, nice. You know, they're in it together, really.
Wow.
I have pictures of Big Baby and Val wearing knitwear together in the winter. I have a normal life. I do.
Yeah, it totally sounds like it. But the most important thing, do I now win the French fancy?
Yeah.
You can throw it to seagulls if you want to.
I don't think that they'd appreciate the creams inside. You know? You're laughing at the weird, obtuse way that I say the word creams. My new insult to people is I'm going to make you drink a vat of cream and run a mile. And then people are like, what does that even mean? And you're just like, yeah. Or I'll make you drink some cream and kick you in the stomach. Like, people are just like, I'm not dealing with you. What were we going to talk about? Films, Martyrs. Everyone's watched Martyrs. Have we watched Martyrs? Let's talk about Martyrs. We're 21 minutes in. So, Mark, what do you think of Martyrs? Because I actually never asked you what you thought about Martyrs, because we were talking about Inside.
Yeah.
Martyrs is my least favourite one.
I was surprised because I am rediscovering loads of stuff, because nearly everything I've watched up until a year and a half ago, I watched while drunk late at night. So it's been great revisiting.
Someone's an
things.
Alcoholic.
And has done something about it. So now I'm going to like watch stuff and experiencing it sober. So like Martyrs, I was convinced there was loads more in there than there actually was.
Yeah, it's really kind of just you want bleakness and then crying.
Yeah, because they go from the house where it all kicks off. And then they kind of don't leave. And I'd imagine that something had happened and I'd kind of fallen asleep and then woken up and she was having stuff done to her.
Can I just preface? The frustration in this movie at the fact that the other girl doesn't just go is beyond me.
Yes.
Get out. That's
a sensible thing to do, isn't it? Yet again.
Of horrible. The house.
It does rely upon very stupid people doing very stupid things, doesn't it?
Once like your so friend things. Is dead, yep. Go. Just go. Don't start shifting things around and peering into vaults in the ground. You know what I mean? Just go. If I was in a house, yeah, where all that weird stuff had happened and my friend was like, Mark, explain the premise of Martyrs while I rock back and forth in my chair with my mental instability. Go.
So the theory is that there is a group of shady people out there that want
all
to,
my friends
that want to they've noticed, discovered, or have been researching the fact that at the point of death, if you have essentially had horror set upon you and had seven shades of shit beaten out of you, then some small percentage of people they think might see God, or they might see beyond death. They might see something special. So what they've been doing is just destroying people on the off chance they get to find out what that's all about.
And also they've discovered that the most likely people to have it happen to them is women.
Yes.
Obviously, not only as a woman do we get to ovulate and... you know, menstruate every 28 days and be lesser, you know, within society regarded as people. We now get to do that. Mm. So thanks.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
Special
chosen few. Yeah.
Oh, God. Martyrs to me personally. I mean, did you like it when you rewatched it? Because it's been a while for me since I watched it. I think you said it had been a while as well. Colin's a virgin. We're going to get to his response in a minute.
I still liked it. I still thought it was really good. I think having watched, because I rewatched Inside as well, I think Inside, I thought, was a better film now. I think previously it was just, it's like if I'd at one point I'd gone through all the lists online that said, you know, what are the most disturbing films, what are the films you only want to watch once and all that sort of thing. And Martyrs always seemed to be closer to number one.
Audio listeners, Val is itchy and she's rolling around upside down if you can hear that on the floor. I'm sorry.
So am I.
That's nice.
But yeah, Martyrs always seems to sort of like finish sort of better or higher up, you know, and I think I just went along with that. But having rewatched, I think Inside is better.
Yeah, Inside is definitely the superior film. For me, Martyrs is just too bleak. Like, Inside has trajectory and, you know, we're moving along and we're enjoying things, you know what I mean, yada, yada, yada. And there's almost a believable purpose to Inside and stuff. But when you're watching Martyrs, there's, as like you said, you need stupid people to make stupid mistakes. There's so much stupidity in this movie. And it's like, it's frustrating. It's not so stupid like I Know What You Did Last Summer or Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
it's just a frustrating movie where you're like, leave the house. would you just go home? And there's a bit where the girl is like, I'm being attacked by a demon. And her friend doesn't clock onto it. And I'm like, she's clearly suffering from psychosomatic like situations. She's clearly in psychosis.
She just
shot a whole family. If you think at this point in your mindset that she's also clearly of a sane mindset, then you're also nuts. She's like, if you believe that this woman chasing her is a thing, no, she's clearly suffering from delusions. Who cares what they are? She's now dead. You should just go and call the police or leave the building with loads of dead people in it.
She spent time to call her mum that she hadn't seen.
Oh, God, it's so annoying. But the key thing with Martyrs, and I'll touch upon it before we ask Colin how he felt losing his virginity to what is, as Mark said, regarded as one of the most extreme films out there and stuff. Personally, I don't think it's one of the most extreme films. I think it's just tough to watch because it's just so unnecessarily brutal.
Harrowing.
Yeah. And you're just tired by the end. You're exhausted. It's like when I first watched A Human Centipede, although I don't rate that film. Fun fact, audio listeners, was the first film I ever had to write a film review about. It's not a great movie. But I remember watching that, and it's not the film itself. It's the exhaustion that comes with watching it because of the humanity and the struggle of the human condition. And Martyrs is more like that. But when it comes to gore in Martyrs, when they rip off her skin suit, girl, I can see your muscular region. Like, I was like, But you know what I find more depressing? And I don't, everyone's going to go, it's because you have an eating disorder. But honestly, I find the bit when they're like force feeding them that like yellow slop all the time.
Yeah,
really,
yeah, the baby food.
Yeah, it's so hard to watch. And you're just like, oh, even when they shave her head, you're just like, whatever. And when they're punching her in the face, you're like, yeah, that sucks. But when they're just like shoving this food into her and they just, you know, if you fight back, you get beaten. And I was just like, ah, Martyrs is just...
Yeah.
Martyrs is just depressing.
It
you know?
Is. It was not just, something I noticed as well is the whole of that section where they're doing all those things. There's
yeah.
not like any music. There's no, nope. They're not sort of like. I've never sunk my teeth into all the torture porn stuff. I've kind of stayed away.
Yeah,
but,
it's boring.
Yeah, and it, but it's they weren't trying to glamorize it or trying to posh it up. It was just like some poor woman just having horrible things done unto her.
Yeah, it's it reminds me, I just wrote dies instead of does in a text, so I just don't want people to think that someone died. I pay attention on my podcasts.
I start texting when Mark's talking to me as well.
Rude. okay, sorry, what were I'm putting the phone down. Literally went on vacation to not deal with this. There was one day, right, where I went out for 4 hours and I came back and I had 73 messages and I don't Ooh. Have any group chats apart from the band one. And I think you guys hadn't been that vocal that day. And I was just like, I cannot cope with my life. Like, this is horrific. And like, but FYI, none of them were work related. That was just social shit. And I was just like,
wow.
Nervous nope. breakdown central. I'm gonna be the skinniest person at my intervention. just it's a comedy show. What was I saying about Mars? Yeah, torture porn is what it is, and you know, I've watched a lot of that kind of very grotesque kind of humanistic you know, suffering and stuff. I honestly think that the worst one is Megan is Missing and stuff like that. Just it's only one scene in that film that's what Val, would you stop? I get it, you're itchy. She had fleas not that long ago, so she caught off her big giant wife. And now she's having her treatment, and I think that they're, as they're leaving her body, she's really angry about it. This is better than it was, Val. You get to have another flea bath soon. Would you fucking stop? She's doing it again. Okay, go back on the couch. There we go. Val's involvement in the show. She likes Martyrs as well. Yeah, Martyrs is just like, you're just watching it and you're exhausted by the end. You're just tired by the end. And that's excusing all the stupidity. And it's got that ending where you just go, shut up, where she tells her the Martyrs thing or the seeing of transcendence, whereas, and the woman just blows her brains out. And I'm like, she probably told you absolutely jack shit. And you were like, this whole thing's been worthless. That's how I see Martyrs. Like she was told that it means nothing, and so she's like, my whole life's been a lie, kind of like when Bud Dwyer blew his brains out on national TV because he was going to go to prison. Like, I feel like it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then, or did she know something so insane that she was like, I can't live anymore?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't seem in a rush, did she? She was she strung it out a little bit, and she invited everybody round to have a chat, and then took off her makeup, and
well, you would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take my makeup off to blow my head off. Like, I'd want to look my best. What's wrong with you, Colin? Come on, women always look their best. I was in hospital once. I had kidney failure. I was in ICU, and I put my makeup on in the morning the next day, and the nurse was like, "What is wrong with you?" I was like, "If I'm going to die today, I got to be looking good, bro."
Well, it saves the taxidermy some...
Exactly. Yeah. The guy who has to, like, put my face back on. I want it done how I like it. Jeffree Star, baby. This is the best makeup brand in the world. They'll probably put something cheap on me from Superdrug and I'll scream, but I'd be dead. Colin, you're a virgin. How did you feel about Martyrs?
So, I mean, I think I found it unpredictable. Like, so I just, like, got quite
you
often...
didn't predict the thing under the house with the women with the bolts in their head, yeah.
No, like, so kind of, I kind of saw Lucy as being like the main character, and then like about halfway through, she like slits her own throat, and I'm like, okay, I was expecting like a bit more of that character, but I feel the same about that the sort of torture segment at the end, it felt quite hard to watch. Like, is you know, like people pulling rivets out of their head and stuff like that, you just kind of like, that's just like, doesn't really happen. But you know, someone being beaten in that way, it was quite hard to watch. And the and they're trying to make the people eat the Teletubby custard or whatever it was.
Oh,
it was,
so gross.
I really enjoyed the inside, but I didn't enjoy this at all. Like
Mart, this is brutal, man.
Yeah,
when they rip her skin off, you know, most people do kind of check out.
Yeah, that was pretty good. She did look most upset about having her hair cut, though, like out of all of the things that happened to her, which, you know.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, as I said, not the most stressful thing in that situation.
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud, she's scratching everyone. Audio listeners, she's really on one this evening. I mean, I had a vow-free episode last month, so I guess this is... She was too hot, and she'd been outside playing with other dags, and so she was in the other room cooling down. So me and Jake did the podcast sans vow so she could lay on her cool mat, which is just a big ice mat that she lays on sometimes, because brachycephalic dogs overheat, everyone, as we know. So you have to be a good dog owner and have them little cool mats out for them. Martyrs to me, I mean, do I go back and watch Martyrs on a regular basis? Absolutely not. I watched Martyrs once back in the day, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is an interesting premise. This is an interesting movie. This is well directed, this is well shot, everything that you tick the box on. But do I like the movie? No. You know, I tell people to watch it when they're like, oh, I don't care about any for it. I'm like, go watch Martyrs, off you pop, like that. And then they come back and like, I didn't like that movie. And I'm like, yeah, wasn't that great? It was a terrifying film.
They did an American rework of it a few years ago.
Yes, they did.
And I really wanted to watch that before I came on here so I could sort of agree with everybody here and go, pretty rubbish. But I didn't. So there's the good end to that story.
It'd
be fascinating to know if they took out all the horrific stuff and then there was just like blandness left. I don't know. But
no, I looked into it as well, but I couldn't find it anywhere. Like, unless I had to, you know, Pirate Bay or whatever, I couldn't seem to find it. But it's like when they did, there was a Korean film called A Tale of Two Sisters, and then they remade it and called it The Uninvited. And
I didn't know that. See, I've seen A Tale of Two Sisters, and I'm aware of The Uninvited, but I didn't know that that's what that was.
Yes, it's the same movie, but without all of the gratuitous, horrifying scenes that happen in A Tale of Two Sisters. Because there is the only way to describe that scene where she crawls out from the side of the bed and stands over her daughter and a hand comes out of her vagina is utterly terrifying. That scene is utterly terrifying. And when she's in the cupboard and she's hung herself, terrifying. Yeah. A Tale of Two Sisters is masterful in regards to the horror. But The Uninvited is... It does skip that, but it really takes the storyline in a nice direction and you learn more about the characters, I felt. And I feel that you're much more invested in the daughter and the air quote sister. Spoiler alert, we're not going to give too much away. Watch The Uninvited. Check it out. It's actually not bad. I think it's just been put on Netflix, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you've got Netflix, Mark, go check that out. Colin, if you feel like it, but you haven't watched A Tale of Two Sisters, it will be a bit hard to gauge. But A Tale of Two Sisters, Mark, go watch. Colin, go watch that. It's such a terrifying good film. Like, it's so bonkers. Like, that scene, like, it's classed as one of the scariest scenes in film. Is the mother coming out from the side of the bed? It's classed as that. It's like nightmare fuel. It's absolutely like the perfection of how to direct a ghost horror scene. I remember watching it first time, and it was in my flat when I was like 18, and my friend was like, I've got this film, do you want to watch it? And it's Sarah, who comes on and done the Silent Hill and J Horror once, and I was like, yeah, all right. And it got to that scene and she's just looking at me and I'm like looking at the TV and I'm looking back at her and I was like, what's going on, you're making me paranoid. And she was like, just watch the screen, Rachel, don't worry about my eye contact on the side of your head. And I was like, and then literally I was like, oh my God, that scene is a trip, bro. It's fabulous. But I'd rather watch The Uninvited. I just prefer the pacing of it. I give Martyrs 2 out of 5.
I'd go one.
Hater! You're a hater, Colin.
Yeah, because I guess when you watch these films, it's like the sort of like the gore and all that kind of stuff, it's just supposed to make it better. It was just a bit rubbish. Like, I was just like, she shot him. Oh, yeah, she shot him.
She shot him. There's a woman in the basement. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you say, about the whole thing about her being, you know, like her friend, who, by the way, had known her for like 15 plus years or whatever, and she couldn't work out that she was possessed by her own thoughts and she was cutting herself and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, she deserved to die.
Damn that side of you. Colin, Mark, what are you got, Mars? I feel like you're a bit more positive about Bob Mars.
Yeah, I would have said a good 3.5 or 4 out of 5, to be honest. I thought it was perfectly good. Perfectly good. Just quite as good as I remembered, or as, you know, Horror Hounds, perhaps.
Bearing in mind, this is a man who likes Iron Maiden. But, you know, we'll move on.
Whoa. Who likes Iron Maiden?
Mark does.
Oh, Mark, I thought it was just Chris. I've got to get my vape pen now. I'm so stressed.
Yeah, we went to Iron Maiden together. That was our...
I thought you were just being polite and going with him.
No. Everything mid-90s and pre was great. But that was... You're of the right age to do it. You know, I think revisiting them now, I wouldn't be a fan. Absolutely.
Mark's just got his little rowing boat and started to row away.
Great. Okay, I'm going to say it out loud and I don't care. I'm having to vape now, Mark, because of the stress.
Yeah. I've got a gummy bear vape today. So
I got some when I was in Hastings. I've got cherry ice and it's literally my new favourite meal replacement. skinny legend. Right, okay, I'm going to say it. Right, even for, what was it, the 70s that Iron Maiden came out?
80s. Very, very late 70s.
Very late 70s, very early 80s, yeah, okay. The music wasn't even good then. Like, you can listen to things from a time frame and go, that is of that time frame. So if you listen to New Wave and you listen to, like, Joy Division and Talking Heads and stuff, like, you may not be into that, but you're like, okay, that's good music of the time. I can understand why that was popular. Like, you know, Eurythmics. I absolutely hate them, but I can understand why during the techno pop era of the 80s, Eurythmics were popular. I get it. Yep. I see it. You know what I mean? Iron Maiden, I'm like, you just generically suck. Like, you weren't good. You weren't good ever. There was never a song you wrote that was good. It's generic, boring rock. And I'm like, okay, great. You had a really good marketing team behind you, and that's really essential in music. You know, you had your mascot, which was the Eddie guy. That's really excellent marketing. You know, you had a theme kind of, you know, consistently with your lyrics.
But I think
and stuff
it
like
probably
that.
Was not a marketing team in the very beginning. It was just a bunch of stuff. And yeah. And I think generic. I've never heard generic sort of apply to Maiden unless
it's very easy
had
to say. It's
so many people copied them that they seem like, you know, like when you're sort of, you come along and you're the first to do. It's like why I wanted to get my kids to watch a lot of the films that were around ages ago. Before
you made your kids watch Martyrs, Mark?
No.
Yeah, that's just back that one down. Yeah.
But you know what? It's like if you see the new stuff and then you go back and watch the old stuff, in the same way that if you listen to the new music, you go back and listen to the old music, the old stuff sounds naff and some of the old films sort of seem rubbish. But you need to understand where these things came from.
No, see, I'm not a hater of old music. I love a lot of old bands. But when I listen to Iron Maiden, and I'm not very big on like glam metal, I don't like Motley Crue and like, you know, all that stuff. But if I say, let's example, I listen to, you know, Shout at the Devil or whatever by Motley Crue, I can go, yeah, that's a good song. That's well written. That I can see why people buy that or bought that at that time and would still listen to it now.
You know, when Motley Crue's like, Motley Crue is pop music and Iron Maiden is classical music. It's just a completely different thing.
All right, give me a band that's of that time frame that's classical and I'll tell you how Iron Maiden suck compared to them. I'll keep going, Mark. You can't win with me with music. I'm an almanac for this shit.
This is beautiful because I've been Mark, how long have we been in a band? I've off and on like 20 years or something ridiculous like that. It's got to be close to
25-ish.
Yeah. And I have just been beaten down by him and Chris together with their love of that terrible, terrible music that is Iron Maiden.
It's like, go away, right? And you have to almost, like my shaman says, you have to have your ego death. And I love a good ego death. It reminds me that I'm trash. But you have to like kind of almost like go away and like there's bands out there that I really hate because of their aesthetical appeal and what they do on stage and all these other things. And so what I try to do for myself is I cleanse myself of that and I say, okay, I'm just going to listen to the music. What do I think about that? Really good examples of that is like Five Finger Death Punch. My God, I absolutely hate their marketing approach. It's disgusting. When I got myself out of that mindset, I was like, okay, some of the music is okay. It's not like great, but it's okay. Yep. If you take away your nostalgic association and joy that you get from Iron Maiden, and you really listen to it, and you really break down it like as a critical thinker of music, so critically listen to every stage of the song, you're going to go, this is boring.
I disagree. I'm not entirely sure how we'll end up on the same page, to be honest. You know, I mean, it's all very well saying you disassociate this, disassociate that, but that ain't easy, is it?
I didn't write a song called Run to the Hills. It's shit. It's shit, right? And all of this like weird lyrical context that they have.
I wouldn't necessarily sort of lean in to back up all of their lyrics. That's just 14-year-old boys writing crazy D&D stuff, isn't it? But the music, I think, is fantastic.
I'm really enjoying this. This is like years of payback of having to.
Don't worry, Colin. We can slag Guns N' Roses soon because I absolutely venomously hate Guns N' Roses.
I don't know where you come with that. Just like it's Chris bought me tickets to go to Guns N' Roses.
Because you like Guns N' Roses. Why would you buy someone for a show they don't like? That's like me buying you a show to Madonna, or you buying me tickets to go and see, like, you know, Eminem or something. Really dreadful.
Oh my God, who told you what I've got you for Christmas?
No, I hate Eminem. He's dreadful. He's not even a good rapper. Jesus Christ. I love my hip hop, and Eminem is a mockery of the situation. An absolute mockery. I can't stand him. I don't even know how he's hailed. There are fantastic hip hop artists in the world, like Vinnie Paz and Army of Pharaohs, and you know, the list goes on. You know, even if you want to go like mainstream, you can go Old Fugees, the first album, fabulous, brilliant lyrical intricacy. Like, and then people are like, Eminem's a great rapper. I'm like, you should be taken outside, lined up against a wall, and shot in the back of the head. Whilst I play very loudly the album Nasmatic, because it was a great album. So there we go. We can listen to One Mic by Nas, and I will kill you. He makes comedy rap go away. All right, it's not the point. Anyway, why would you buy someone tickets to Guns N' Roses unless they like Guns N' Roses?
I don't know. I mean, I buy Chris cheese all the time. But
all right, so Chris isn't at home, right? We're all Chris. Everyone put on that. What's the secret podcast meeting? What's the name of the brand that's always on Chris's jumper?
Charvel.
Right. So we all put on our Charvel jumpers, right? Okay, we're out. It now, and we're Chris, right? We're typing on our computers, we click purchase, right? Because in his mind he was like, Colin loves Guns N' Roses. Of all the shows he could have picked and googled, he went Guns N' Roses.
I'm gonna say
you're embarrassed that you like Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses were one of the bands that first got me into playing the guitar. Like, so Appetite for Destruction, I'm gonna sit out there and I'm gonna say the whole thing at that age, like, you know, like I really, really enjoyed it. Did they disappear up their own asses about sort of 7 years after that? Yes.
The music video for November Rain, was that the time when you clocked onto how bad Guns N' Roses?
Well, it was the trilogy of videos, wasn't it? Because you've got
I'm not gonna lie, I will say this actually. November Rain is literally terrible. The music video is an absolute joke, and I love what, when I'm really depressed and I'm thinking about killing myself, I like to watch Axl Rose fake cry at his dead wife's funeral in the
yeah.
It really makes me feel a lot better, and I don't know why I find it so funny. And he's in bed and he's got the sleeping pills. Oh my God, it's so funny. And Slash comes out that tiny church, but in the video the church is also really big, but when he walks outside it's tiny. I'm like, wow, how'd you manage that, Slash? You crammed a lot of people into that church. The moment song where you know skip the first bit, but the moment in the song when the orchestra comes in, although that's completely not Guns N' Roses and what a lot of people protested against essentially, is actually a really fabulous piece of music.
All
the build up with the strings, and you got the solo over the top, that's brilliant. The whole end of November Rain, like, I'm not one of those people who's gonna go, I mean I massively hate Guns N' Roses, but I'm not gonna be one of those gross people who's like, no, I hate them, I'm done. I will admit that is a beautiful piece of music with the string, you know, the quartet and the orchestra and the solo of Slash. And then also the video just where he throws the rose on the coffin and the red fades away in the rain. And I'm like, I'm dying. But it's a brilliant, it's like, I hate Metallica, but S&M was very good. Very nice.
Have you seen the Estranged video, which was the final one of the trilogy of the videos?
No, what does he do? Does he cry on something else?
It would be brilliant. There's like dolphins, like sort of sweeping. Doesn't he jump off like a cargo ship in the Atlantic?
I have seen that.
Yeah, and he, like, some dolphins come and rescue him or something. I think I think that was, I believe that that was also the moment the rest of the band went, yeah, I think we're out.
Slash, I watched an interview with Slash and he was talking about even November Rain is when they all started talking about it. They went, that's the sound of a band dying. Because I'm one of those weird people who, even if I hate a band, I'll still watch the VH1 Behind the Music special on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I realized once, when I was a child, I never slept. Kind of like now. Oh, audio listeners, I haven't slept for 2 days, so this show's going really well. I'm well wired. I watched Animal Park, I was learning about hippos. Oh God, it was so interesting. Hippos.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Kill more people in Africa than any other animal, but they're vegetarians. Yeah. They kill just out of spite, which is like, I was like, huh, me, me, me. I'm a vegetarian, love killing out of spite. But yeah, so there was a period of time when I was a child and I really didn't sleep, and I would stay up and I would watch all the VH1s Behind the Musics, and then not that long, which hence probably why I'm such an almanac for musical information. And then there was a little bit, a period of time really where I was like, I'm going to Google the episodes of Behind the Music, and I've watched every single one. Five times. I was like, what have I done with my childhood? But what I have done is created an extensive Wikipedia-like knowledge on TLC and Guns N' Roses.
Ah, wow.
Nobody wants Scrubs, apparently. But yeah, in the Behind the Music on Guns N' Roses, Slash was like, yeah, that's when in all of our heads, apart from Axl Rose's, the band was dead. And I was like, oh, November Rain is bringing the tea.
However, I have to say, Estranged is a fantastic song.
When Chris clicked buy tickets, did you still not like Guns N' Roses?
I like Guns N' Roses. Okay, let's get it out of the way. I have a denim jacket with cut off arms that's got a Guns N' Roses. I'll send you a picture now.
Well, I will quit the band. Right, you've got 2 weeks to find a drummer for your headline.
It was a lie. It's a lie. That wasn't true.
Delete. Deleted. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
I'll just send naked pictures instead.
I haven't received a nude since yesterday. Good lord. Guns N' Roses there was so much about Guns N' Roses. I didn't even like when Guns N' Roses were good, though. I didn't like the Sweet Child of Mine, Appetite for Destruction thing, you know.
No, but I mean, it's true. Like back in, what, like 88, 89, when it was kind of like, it was cool then. I enjoyed it then.
With music, I'm also one of those people, and I feel like, again, talking to you and Mark about, like, Mark's being Iron Maiden and yours being, I don't hold on to nostalgical music. Like, I don't sit there and go, Korn, oh yeah. Actually, no, Korn were before my time. Who was like 15? Like, Slipknot got really big at that time. That kind of like new metal was really kind of like, Korn were like the late 90s with Limp Bizkit, but obviously they got thrown into the mix as well. But like Taproot and stuff. Actually, I'm not going to lie, Taproot were one of my favorite bands of all time. But they've consistently made excellent music even up until now. Everyone go listen to Blue Sky Research by Taproot. It's a fantastic album. It's actually a brilliant album. But I don't nostalgically hold on to it. Like I listen to Slipknot now and I go, this really sucks.
there's music I've fallen out of love with, for sure. And there's stuff that I've gone back and listened to and thought, nah. But Iron Maiden's not one of them.
I think my youth, probably Taproot would be my ones that I kept. Nirvana, obviously, but that was a good time.
Yeah, but you kind of like you do. I think it's fine to associate it with what was going on in your life at that particular point in time. That's part of it. Like, you know, if you listen to music, it'll take you back to that time.
That's nice.
I think as long as you just keep absorbing the new stuff rather than keeping hold of the old, that was
an underhand comment towards me and me being.
I do think that somewhere here,
and me being a dinosaur,
been listening to the music I sent them and then pretending that you listened to it and like you have a text, which was our agreement was I was going to send you music and you would say you listened to it.
I listened to it and watched it and I liked it.
So much amazing hip hop. You're going to be like, Jesus. It's like great lyrics. Hip hop is brilliant. Everyone hates hip hop, but me and like three of my friends. It's really depressing. Like we literally, I have three friends who have really superb hip hop taste. And I'm just like, right, this is it. It's just the three of us while you smoke weed. And I'm just sitting there. We're watching YouTube. We just, you know, they smoke weed. We watch skateboarding videos and listen to hip hop. And I'm like, Jesus, yep. Is it 1998 all over again? We're just in our 30s, but we still do it. And then they ate pizza and they dipped it in mayonnaise the other week.
Oh, good really? God. Good. That's savage. That's worse than martyrs doing that.
And I was so disgusted to my core that I went and locked myself in the bathroom because I couldn't watch it anymore. Not unlike what the woman does in Inside. Oh, another
song. Yeah. She's a pro.
I've done that thing. I'm fine. Anyway, so yeah, let's talk about Inside.
No, I want to talk about mayonnaise. Let's get in a podcast cul-de-sac.
Really disgusting, isn't it? Like they're sitting there and they had like meat. It was like a meaty one, like a pepperoni one. And, you know, I'm watching this beautiful skateboarding video. We've got some fantastic hip hop playing in the background. And they're dipping like a pepperoni pizza into like dollops of mayonnaise the size of toddlers' faces. I was like, this is rank, dude. Anyway, it's not the point. We've all locked ourselves in bathrooms and had scissors shoved in us.
There is a moment, isn't there, where the pregnant lady gets punched in the stomach or kicked in the nether regions, where she seems to vomit up some mayonnaise.
That could have been the segue.
I've never seen anyone vomit mayonnaise.
No. Well,
I've never lived.
You've never fucked up sperm. I found cum in my ear once the day after, so I'm like, you know,
so did Mark actually, if I remember.
I'm good. I always swallow because there's kids starving in Africa, so I understand that. I'm not gonna be rude, am I? Anyway, what was I saying? Okay, Inside. I literally cannot remember how I heard of Inside. No, I do. I bought it's a Lithuanian film or a Polish film, and it's called Them, and it's about home invasion. It's a very good movie. Yeah. If anyone's... Mark's seen it. Yay. Oh, Mark, you and I were so married. watching the same films. But you like Iron Maiden. Your wife's just like, you're not married to her. I'm like, yeah, I don't really know him. I remember watching that film, and you know, I'm going to sound old as well. I lived in a windmill. No. And you watch trailers at the beginning of a DVD. Now, I would always watch them because this was like pre-game YouTube being any good. YouTube existed, but it wasn't good. And I remember me and my boyfriend at the time were watching it, and I went, oh, that looks good. And it was Inside. And we used to go to HMV like once a month in Canterbury, which is the bigger town near us, and literally.
Which Queen of Rising will be appearing at in January?
We're going to be playing at HMV in Canterbury because I
could not get any more 90s than that.
I made friends with a band who I still talk to. I literally spoke to them yesterday because we're friends and we have conversations together. And I kind of want to sleep with the bass player. No. I don't know what I'm talking about. And then they hooked us up with that show as well, which is great because they're really lovely people. And as I said, I actually communicate with them. They invited me to their show last night, but due to unforeseen health circumstances, i.e. Rachel did too much and couldn't walk for 6 hours, I was unable to go. So I messaged their singer last night and she said the show went great. So I can't ever pronounce the name of their band and I'm going to feel really bad. They told me what it is. It's a Greek word for the last to leave the party. And I'm going to seem terrible now that I don't know how to say it. Apavagev... A-P-A-G-A-V-E-L-L-A.
I mean, that's got to be the first rule of coming up with a band name. It's got to be one that people can actually say.
Apagavella. I think that's how you say Apagavella. And it's a Greek for the last leave the party. Anyway, everyone go check them out on social media. They're really lovely people and they've been so sweet and so kind and talking to me and stuff. So everyone go check out their socials. And their music's really great. And their lead singer, she's beautiful. And I'm jealous of how skinny she is. Anyway, what was we talking about?
So anyway, so HMV Cape Inn, in Canterbury.
I bought it and I watched it and I was like, oh, all right then, we're gonna flex like that, are we? Now I don't like children's and I don't like pregnant people; they scare me. There is actually a term for it when you're actually scared of pregnant people. I'm massively scared of pregnant people. I just find it repulsive. And there's a pregnant woman at work today. And I was like, squirted mayonnaise all over and I left. I don't like babies. There's a whole thing about it. That's called pedophobia, which is a term you don't want to admit to having. No. My therapist told me that. I was like, come on, give me something better. Come on. I don't want to say that to people. What's wrong with you? Why don't you like my kid? Oh, I'm a pedophobic. Get away from my kid. You know, can I actually like? I want to say, okay.
We're on the same page. It's okay. Ooh, I don't want to hug.
But when they kicked that woman in her prego gross stomach, I was so pleased. I felt waves of euphoria wash over me. Much satisfaction. There's so much in this movie that I love. Yeah. I love watching this pregnant woman get absolutely annihilated. And the storyline in itself, there's almost no character arc, is there really? But it's just a woman in car accident. Colin, would you like to explain what happens in Inside? Because I don't want to take the lead. This is my show. I don't want to sit back and listen to how you're... I like to give my audio listeners a rundown of the film every time. So tell us what Inside is about. Me and Mark will get all comfy, wumpy under our blankies and listen to the story.
Listen to my dulcet tones. I have
a blanket over me at the moment and I'm really obsessed with those ugly blankets that have like photos of wolves on them with a big moon and an eagle on them.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Those really tacky things that people genuinely have, right?
Yeah.
And then there was people in the world going, ew, why do you have that? Or there's like a dream catcher and an Indian on it. Anyway, I got bought one because I kept saying about how disgusting they were and I really wanted one. And now I own one.
Wow.
I know, it's over my legs, but Val chewed the corner. Oh. But yeah, it's got big wolves on it and there's also an eagle, so it's making so much sense. Colin, I'm under my wolf blanket that I got from Herne Bay Market as a gift. Tell me a story.
Well, you know, to add some texture to myself, I'm sitting here just in my Union Jack boxer shorts and nothing else.
You're not in your girlfriend's house nude right now. She has a dryer shoe. Like,
yeah, well, and I'm not allowed to be nude because, I mean, it ruins the chairs. But
I had to go. I went to my adopted family's house the other day and brother Josh answered the door and I was like, is Jake there? He's like, yeah, he's upstairs. I was like, okay, I'll go get him. And he's in his gaming room. He plays Flight Simulator. And I opened the door and he was just in his pants and he is a hairy man. He has Robin Williams level of body hair and it was also 3:30 in the afternoon and it wasn't that hot, Jake.
It is a man's right to
why
sit,
were you semi-nude
to sit on a sofa in your pants and eating chili or a pot noodle or whatever takes your fancy.
Man's noodle. I'm gonna text him that you stole that. Really stir up some drama in the band camp.
Well, actually, I just noticed he has just sent me a message. So I don't know whether this information has been leaked. He's probably looking for a 79p refund for how much. I don't know how much a pot noodle costs anymore. I'd like, you know, I have no concept of reality.
No way, you're in there. Tell us what Inside's about.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that, weren't we?
Yeah.
So it's a car crash, and she's a pregnant woman that's driving in the rain and her husband dies terribly in that crash and there is another car that she crashes into but you don't know the identity of the other driver but you kind of assume that there's been some kind of fatality in that crash as well.
Everyone's prego.
And I guess this probably, you know, perhaps this was an information film in France to stop pregnant women driving. I don't know, I'm not agreeing to that. I'm just putting it out there anyway. So that's what happens. You then fast forward like 4 months later. She's about to give birth on what looks like the grimmest Christmas Eve I've ever seen in my entire life.
What do you mean, sitting alone in your sad French house, eating, having a great time, you know, with her husband?
Exactly. Although before we get into too much into the kind of the plot of it, I have to say that I found the angry smoking French nurse at the beginning. Like, I found them mildly erotic. Also, I did point out to Rachel when I was watching it is that Amazon Prime gave me some warnings beforehand. And one of those was it contained smoking, which I was glad that they pointed that out because I was really terrified by the smoking.
Colin, I forgot to tell you a lovely story while you're telling me a lovely story. No, I'm being rude. You finish yours.
I'm not sure mine's lovely. It involves someone, a crazy lady trying to cut a baby out of a pregnant woman's stomach.
And that's inside, everyone. And that's...
there we go.
I literally feel like, Mark, you agree, he rounded the film up really well just then, didn't he? Now my story. When I was in Hastings, this is how you tell a story, Colin.
All right, Miss, I've got a podcast and I tell stories.
I'm going to paint you a picture. I have a blanket with a wolf's face on. Mark, do you have a blanket over you right now? I didn't ask. How rude of me. We were getting under our blankets, but I don't know if you've engaged.
I didn't have one within reach.
Oh.
They're all in the cupboard under the stairs. It's two doors away. I didn't want to miss any of...
Mine for Colin.
Storytelling.
Right. Okay. Go on.
I'm gonna quit the band. Show in London now, and I'm like, Colin, I already quit because you were nude. So. Mark, I like to call all blankets Peggy's. So if we can all refer to them as Peggy's from now on, we can all actually remain in this band and carry on with our journey together.
Okay. So. We need to be very careful about confusing that with other.
Yeah. Like,
you know, yeah. Blanket. Yeah. Politics are going too far. All blankets are called Peggy's, so that's
okay.
Right.
Anyway, we're all under the Peggy's while I am. Anyway, my story was for Colin is I went to Hastings, didn't I, to get better. Oh, I lost weight. Yay! It's not the point. So when I was in Hastings getting better, I went to the arcades and I won you a little octopus keychain from the.
You're back into my good books now.
I like went and I saw it and I was like, you know, when you're like you use your cat like reflexes. I beelined. I saw it really far away. And I was like, I'm gonna win that octopus. I'm just like pushing, elbowing kids out the way. And I think we probably did about £3 worth of 2p's for something that's worth like a penny from China. I can't remember where I put it. I do know where it is. I'll bring it on Saturday, but I won you a little octopus. And then also, in the same time, I won a starfish keychain for me.
Oh, wow.
I actually, for the first time in my life, won at the claw machines. You know the big teddy bears?
Yeah.
I saw one and it looked like Val, so I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to have a go. I'm never going to win. Boom, must have clocked down on the algorithm and I won it. And now I have
But was this largely aquatic themed? Then if it was a starfish and an octopus.
Yeah, there was some sort of weird aqua bullshit going on in this. The point was, Colin, I got the octopus out. It's proper ghetto. It proper looks like it's worth money, right? But I done it. And I stood there for ages. And my legs don't work properly right now, so I stood.
Oh, right.
As well. Anyway, so that was a thing I did. Go to Hastings to de-stress and not lose weight, and I come back with an octopus and a quarter of a pound lighter.
Sounds good. Sounds really good.
I'm more stressed than ever. I can see the real Akumas, though. I'm getting calmed down now. I'll have to go look at my big bear in a minute. His name is Bernard, as in...
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to name him that. A friend of mine suggested that name. I think it's quite good. And obviously, you don't want to offend people.
Not Yogi?
I was going to call him Chow Mein because he's Asian, but I thought that might be slightly racialist.
Yeah, that's a bit Jade Goody, if I'm honest.
Racialist. She's dead, Colin. How dare ye? Side is literally one of the OG baller films that I own, and I remember when my sister emigrated to Australia, I would lend her DVDs to watch because she was saving money, so she wasn't going out and stuff. And I lent her Inside, and she texts me halfway through, going, "Why is that woman standing behind that other woman?" And I was like, "You are literally into the soup of this, Claire. This is the best." And then, literally, like an hour later, she was like, "I don't want to see that film again." When I first, like, you know, if you're not into film and stuff like that, which is why I think it's quite interesting that you watched it, but like, you know, and then say compared to say me and Mark watching it, because you know we've watched Mars before, we've watched like films like them and things, you know, when I'm watching it, I'm going, this is brilliant, this is guerrilla warfare, this is really well directed, this is excellent like lighting and cinematography, and you know, you're taking all the Mark, I am going to throw you under this bus, but snobbery art film people ideas of it all. Yep. Where you're going, me and Mark just watching David Lynch going, yes. And everyone going, why is that monkey in Sweet Corn? And me and Mark are like, this is so good. I'm literally looking at my beautiful Twin Peaks posters right now. It's not the point.
I'm patting Bob on the head.
What?
Oh my God.
Is that a euphemism?
No. I wish that... Oh my God, TV dad Leland Palmer... Oh, yes. My God. Okay, which Leland Palmer do you want, though, Mark? Do you want brown-haired Leland Palmer when he was crying a lot, or do you want white-haired, absolutely nuts Leland Palmer?
I think we want a happy, huggy, white-haired one, don't we, really?
Really crazy one. Yeah, I like how he's just absolutely bonkers, insane. I don't know, I quite like Leland in Firewalk With Me when he hadn't killed his daughter via rape and being possessed by Bob. So, you know, I can't decide what daddy Leland I want, but it's better than crying Leland.
Maybe there's room for both. Why can't we have both?
Well, I think I want Firewalk With Me Leland, but if I'm picking TV series Leland, I'd have white hair Leland.
Yeah.
Colin's checked out. He's just left the room. He's left the chat.
He's gone to put a blanket.
I was just pegging, whatever it was you were calling it. But now I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm a Twin Peaks kind of guy.
Oh, you're seeming so hip and cool with your octopus keychains and your Twin Peaks.
and my gummy bear vape.
Oh, yeah, I want to sup on that your little soup flavor when I see you, Sally. And what was I going to say? Like, Mark, what did you think of Inside? Because I want to hear your theory. My theory was I absolutely 100% admired, A, the storyline twist, which was fantastic, and B, personally for me, it was the absolute reality and attention to detail that the filmmakers chose when it came to the violence in this film. This is actual guerrilla warfare. This is the only time, I think, where I've watched even any kind of, like, one-on-one engagement of violence between two characters where I genuinely believed every move. Do you know what I mean? Like,
No, I think it's... We've all been in a situation where we've nearly killed our own mother with a knitting needle, but she managed to follow it through, didn't she? That was
impressive.
I got to a certain point, I was like, and I had had a similar thought, because I was like, the body count is huge, and there's no guns in there whatsoever, and then literally 5 minutes later, a gun comes into play. It was just literally whatever's to hand. Obviously, one of them was a big fan of the scissors, wasn't she? But... yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Loads better than I remember it, to be honest.
I actually thought it was a really good film. The bit I got confused about was the sort of, I think it was the like almost like the reincarnated police officer they're in.
Yeah.
Like, that was a bit weird. That seemed out of step, I have to say. The rest of it all seemed, you know, even the toaster incident.
My favourite bit. Like, I literally was like, when I first watched that, she just swung that toaster at her. I was like, that's the kind of thing I would do if I had a home invader. Honestly, yep. You would pick up any, and this is what I'm saying about like the violence being really, really well thought out, because you would just, you're in your surroundings. Like, what right now next to you can you use to kill someone with? Like, I would literally yank this podcast mic arm off the thing and batter someone with it. It's metal, it's heavy, I'd go. Like, you have to
think. I
think
it says
like
something
that
about the quality of manufacturing in France as well, that, that's, you know, that, really that toaster to stayed on the end of that lead and didn't
What's the name of those big, heavy French pans? The Crusoe or whatever it is. Surely, being French, they must have had a few of them around.
Wasn't wearing a striped shirt and a beret. What an idiot.
And she'd got on strike or something. Yeah, like, you know.
He had to go for the baguette. This isn't the French film I signed up for. I'm so disappointed that she didn't hit her with a baguette now when she was. That would have been really good. She got pummeled with croissants. Oh, the.
Yeah.
Imagine if I tried to home invade you and you put a croissant at me. I'd be well upset. I'd be like, I've got too much calories. It's absorbing into my skin. And I would leave. If you shoved a croissant and I know the buttery, carby calorie count and that, I'd be like, well, all right, I'll just go then. It's not worth your money, Colin. I don't care. I don't know what I want to rob from you, Mark, but we're just going to go for Colin's money. You can help if you want.
I don't swim around in a money room like Scrooge McDuck or whatever it is. Like,
Mark has a riot shield that those police have, right? And he bats away the croissants as I come up with like an AK-47, but there's so many croissants in the way I can't get a clear shot at you, and that's what happened. We've just made a movie, everyone. If another TV series, if another movie is made of that storyline after I dreamed up 28 weeks later, I'm going to scream.
of the dynamic duo of you two coming at me, trying to like, you know, like rob me of stuff.
At me, Colin, I'm quitting the band. It's all it comes down to. It's just over. I don't want to be hit with buttery bread. I used to love a croissant back in the day. Oh, I used to. Oh, yeah.
If I turn up on Wednesday with a bag of croissants and some cheese, you know what's going down.
I'm seeing you Wednesday. I'll bring you French Fancies Wednesday.
Oh, they'll still be good for Wednesday, for sure.
Well, yeah, I only bought them yesterday, you know.
Like, what day is it today? When you say French, are they like Mr. Kipling's French Fancy? Nice. Those ain't going off for about 3 or 4 years.
There's nothing in there to rock.
That's got all of nature's colours in that thing.
Well, on Wednesday, you can all tuck into a bland and sad French Fancy. Everyone used to like the brown ones the most.
Oh, yeah, they did.
The pink ones. Easy.
How do you eat your French Fancy?
You bite the top. Off first with the cream in it.
Oh no! I start at the bottom. Always the bottom first for me.
And then Australia? What's wrong with you?
I want
the little treat at the end.
I like to make my way up to the nipple at the end. Yeah.
Mark,
like,
you're with me, right? You eat the cream off the top and then you eat the sponge.
Yeah.
No.
Well, then you're a freak. You just.
Going that way is as bad as having pepperoni pizza and mayonnaise in my book.
Even talk about what my friends were doing. And the only reason I'm giving them like a free pass is because they were on drugs. So, but then the other day I nearly said his name, I'm not going to dox him because of the drug statement. I was at his house the other day and he had an empty pizza box in the kitchen and the only thing in the fridge was mayonnaise. And I was like, these two have gone together again and you are completely sober because you've just cooked this pizza but now you're hanging out with me and no drugs have been consumed, so you just genuinely do this. And it's weird that you also have a friend that enjoys it as well and that you've found each other. Stop it. I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on the group chat next time it happens. Everyone just throws up on their phones. Then Mr. Kipling, enjoy whatever. So, nice. Mark, what did you think of Inside? Because I think it's sexy.
I think if we were giving it the scores, I think it's got to be the 4. Yeah.
Really? Colin, what did you think of Inside in general? Because you are watching like what I would class as personally. Like if you take out Martyrs, I think Inside is probably one of the most like extremes of the gore. Because there's the scissor scene on the stairs when they cut the actual baby out with household scissors. Those scissors were strong. Did she buy them in Lakeland? My God. Mm.
Yeah, they were very sharp.
Good scissors.
She wasn't carrying them with handles up, which is what you should do with scissors.
There's a audio listeners, there's a scene in the movie where she locks herself in the bathroom, the pregnant woman does, because obviously the crazy woman's home invading her. Oh, we didn't tell in the end. The woman who was in the car that crashed into the pregnant lady's car is the woman who is now in her house. She was pregnant. Her baby died. She wants her baby. She's got nothing better to do with her time than stalk this woman and be obsessed with her pregnancy.
I mean, I just have to say that I was building up to that in my synopsis.
Sorry,
of the story, and you cut me.
I wanted a key ring. I can't wait anymore. I want you a key ring. This is what I did with my time away and not get.
But I have to say the cutting out bits and the sort of like, you know, I found that, like, I mean, I was squirming in my chair watching that. I found the butchering of a mother and then the subsequent confession to the police actually quite amusing. Like, you know, not that I think that killing a parent is funny, but it was just the way it was.
You feel, Colin, don't do it.
just the way it was portrayed, it just did make me chuckle.
The bit in the film that made me, like you said, squirm was when they put the scissors through her hand in the bathroom.
I thought the opener, when she just very gently skewered her belly button. I think even after all of the caving in of heads and the faces disappearing and the toasters, those things for me was like,
to the face when she melts her actual face.
That was hilarious. But also there's more stupidity in there, because when they think that they've got rid of her with those bungling cops, that was almost like the useless, absolutely useless old the bloke from the Pink Panther. Do you have a license for the community? It would have been much better than those guys. But then she just goes and lays down on the bed. Like, again, the same thing.
It was tired. Just time, you know, you gotta have a relax afterwards.
And she drops the gun as well. It's like she puts the gun down and then just lays down on the bed, and there's like a.
It's very hard with the main woman, obviously the pregnant woman. Like, she makes a lot of stupid errors, but then she's also very smart. So you can't really decide what she's doing, you know. So I mean, I just put it down to her acting out of grief at some point.
Oh, shock! Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's not.
I mean, I guess I would be shocked if someone had pinned my my hand to a door with a massive pair of scissors. Yeah.
Why did she have to rip her hand out? That was the bit where I just couldn't hack it, which you see her like ripping her hand out of the
Have you guys seen Gerald's Game?
Oh hell yeah, I've seen that movie.
Talking of hands and tearing.
Oh yeah, and Colin, you haven't seen it, have you? Have you seen it?
No,
this woman's
having
sex with her gross husband, and they try and reinvigorate their marriage. He has a heart attack on top of her, and she's like trapped on the bed because he tied her up as well. And it's, so she's there for like days or something, isn't it, Mark? Like she's there for a while.
I think she keeps on saying you've got 3 days, haven't you? Because he turns up to haunt her. That's it. Yeah.
And, you can go 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food.
That's it.
Wow.
3 hours without heat if you've got hypothermia. Before I met you guys, I was going to emigrate and live in Canada in the wild, so I know a lot about bushcraft and wilderness survival. I know a freak out. Like me and Connor can like build a house and a fire from scratch straight up, know what food to forage. Like, we were like ready to emigrate and live out in the middle of nowhere. We were going to survive. I really want to die at the hands of like a bear or something. I don't want to die normally. I just want to be by nature. So that was our plan. Well,
just go to like Yellowstone Park with a picnic basket, and then that will happen.
No, like when you get to like a reasonable human age, like I reckon you should die at like 50, 60 kind of thing. Like I would want to be.
Thanks, Rach.
Oh my god! Yeah, sorry. I would. Okay, so personally for me, that would be my cap out time, and I'd be happy if like I was living in the middle of like the Canadian wilderness and I got taken out by a bear or really big eagle. I prefer the eagle because I love birds. Yes, finally, I'm getting killed by what I love. A California condor could kill me, which is one of the big birds that we currently have.
Yeah.
It kills its enemy by vomiting and shitting.
Ironically, I used to go hang around his sick cup that did the same thing.
Yeah, he's a California condor, Colin. That's who you were hanging out with, a really big bird. It's kind of like a vulture, but it's huge. It's part of the vulture family. But I would love to be taken out by an eagle, you know what I mean? They take toddlers out of parks, so I'm just if I got skinny enough, you could take me. That's how I think it. Two of them either side, you know, they could peck me to death. I'm happy. But I don't want
it. You need to be careful with Pilot Baby if, like, you like, if eagles around, you wouldn't be able to see him coming.
If Pilot Baby got taken by an eagle, I'd be like, it was about time. It's. I respect that Pilot Baby has gone away. In fact, if a bird did anything, I would be into it. Like, I'm really weird about birds. When birds just ruin stuff, I'm like, that's really good.
Yeah,
like,
if a bird
pecked out like my car's windscreen, even though it cost me loads of money, I would really like that a bird did it. I'd be like, that was excellent.
Bird
like,
to be birding.
I think if I'd known about your bird thing, I probably wouldn't have shared with you about what I was planning to do to those wood pigeons in my garden.
You should never leave the wood pigeons alone. They're not doing anything to you. My God, I bought a crow, a donut from Tim Hortons the other week because it looked hungry in the car park. And a Tim Hortons donut is like £4.
Who buys a donut for a crow?
Me, Colin, I just told you what I did the other week.
Like, is that the first thing that comes to mind? That crow needs a donut and it needs an expensive one.
So it was in the Tim Hortons car park. Also, Tim Hortons isn't pronounced Tim Hortons, it's pronounced Tim Hortons because I feel like it hurts you. Right, so I can't eat from Tim Hortons, obviously, but the crow was in the car park and I was with people who were going to Tim Hortons anyway. So I was like, oh, he's hopping up a storm. He's having a great day. But none of the people sitting in the cars who were eating donuts were giving him any. So I was like, ah. So I bought him a donut. Like, what's wrong with that? And then I threw it at him and he loved it. Oh, and then I tried to, maybe this was like 4 or 5 weeks ago, I can't remember now. I tried to feed a seagull a polo and the seagull didn't want it and it just picked it up and then it dropped it. And I was like, oh, are you going to be like that? That was my last polo. And so I gave it to you. And so then I went and I picked it up and I ate it. And I was like, you can't stop me, seagull. That was my last polo. I don't mind that's had your beak on it. You have to be at one with the birds because eventually, hopefully, they will kill us.
Do you remember that? Did you hear the urban myth about if you give a seagull an Alka-Seltzer?
Look, no. I don't like about this horrible stuff. Basically, they'll explode because of the water that they.
Yeah, yeah, because they can't burp. Oh, sorry, apparently a seagull can't burp. have you seen a seagull burp?
They don't have that same kind of reflex as us. They don't have the same gastronometry as humans do. I've had to work very closely with seagulls at the RSPCA, yeah.
Anyone ever try to give them an Alka-Seltzer? I mean,
that's not the thing we do. We rescue them and let them back out into the wild. But
give
them
a donut.
We have this big barn that used to be like a horse stable on the land that the RSPCA is now built on. And in the summer, we get inundated with them because they all like fall out the trees, the chicks do, and we let them grow up. Anyway, you put them in this big room and it's full of like bathtubs and kiddie paddling pools. And then the bird man comes, the seagull man comes to collect them and let them go. And every now and then they'll be like, Rachel, can you go box up some seagulls? And you're like, yeah. And it's so Alfred Hitchcock because you open the sliding barn door and they're just all standing there staring at you in this massive room. Or they're in the bathtub, the eerie Victorian old abandoned bathtubs. And they're like, ah. And then as soon as you take a step in, they go bonkers. And then they're just trying to... you and I'm just trying to grab them out there. I enjoy it because I'm like, kill me, let's go, woo! But I'm like, at the same time, I'm very good at grabbing seagulls now. I just grab them. I'm like, what are you doing, mate? And then they like proper try and 360 their head at you and try and kill you and attack you. And sometimes because I feel bad about some of the younger ones, and I'm like, no, you need to feel like you're quite strong, and I'll let them bite me so that they can feel confident when they go out into the wild. They're like, well, I did bite that woman, and I'm like, yes, you did.
Yeah, I might be all right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I do it. But actually, I just give them my hand and then they bite me. And I'm like, now you feel like a big boy. Off you go in the back of a bag. That's how much I like birds everywhere. I fed one a donut. It had a good time, Colin. If you don't feed her, Mark, if you as well don't feed them Tim Hortons, what kind of people are you?
Well, all I can say is I hope that one day you feed me a donut when I'm looking like I'm having a
donut. I've got French fancy, so if you're hopping around in the car park on Wednesday, I'll pop one in your little beak.
I'm on Amazon right now ordering myself a seagull costume.
Love that. Mark, what's your favourite colour of the French fancies? Did you say pink?
Pink, yeah.
As payment, Colin, you can't gobble up all the pink ones before Mark gets to them. You can have the brown ones. I just like weirdly control your French fancy consumption now. That's the whole dynamic. I'm like, no, Colin, Mark likes.
Just because Mark's your favourite, I mean, we all know, and you want to give him the pink one.
You remember that phase in the band when I used to come up to you and go, Mark's my favourite. True, Mark, you and I both like the same TV shows.
Yes, I get to choose the colours. Do I get the yellow ones as well?
Well, are they
hang on a minute, don't be greedy. You can't have the pink ones and the yellow ones.
There's two of each. Would you two stop squabbling about this six-pack? wait. Does Chris like them?
Oh, we'll be eating a can of tuna or something.
Oh, he's not allowed.
They're telling him that they've
got cheese.
Fromage frais.
Yeah, it's got cheese in it.
Harry and Chris aren't allowed. They haven't been on the podcast. It's a secret. So you technically both get three each. So you can have one of each colour.
Could do.
How cruel would that be if we just ostracized the friends? And you're just standing in the bare boat pair of you, Blair Witch style, like facing the wall in a corner, just coughing. And I'm like a drug dealer handing him over in the car park. I'm like, now don't tell the others. I didn't bring them.
Well, I tell you what, Mark. Like, I will agree to eat nipple first, making my way down to the bottom. If you agree to go bottom to nipple,
I'm open for anything, Cole.
Yeah, I've heard that.
We'll give it a try.
Yay!
It's only gay if you're doing it naked.
I've heard it's not gay if you're doing it in space. So you guys can go there and your wives/girlfriends won't be too concerned then, because you'll be like, we were in a space suit, which is very formal of you to be wearing a suit in space in the first place, and it's not gay. So that's what's going to happen Wednesday.
Cool.
Colin, what was your rating for Inside? I'm going
to go like 4.5 to 5. It's about the only horror film that outside of the Scream films, because okay. I got a big thing for Courtney Cox.
She's a cardboard. She's got no tits. What are you even on about, Courtney Cox? Drew Barrymore was in the first one, and she used to do heroin. And she dated Eric Erlandson from Hole. She's cool, at least.
Yeah, no, true. Actually, don't get me wrong. Obviously, Drew as well. Like, I mean, and you know, and
yeah,
she.
Yeah, I'd pump 90s.
She, yeah, I mean, everyone kind of looks at Drew and thinks, yeah, she would. But anyway, it's probably one of the only horror films I've actually sort of enjoyed.
I'm
glad
that me and Mark have given this to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, the dog! Dog! Mark, who would you sleep without the cast of Scream?
The guy that plays Shaggy in Scooby-Doo, I imagine.
God, Matthew Lillard. Matthew Lillard in Scream is literally my actual wet dream. I think Matthew Lillard is proper hot anyway, because I really like him in the film 13 Ghosts. But, like, I love Matthew Lillard in Scream because he's slightly mental, and I like to, you know, do it with mental people, so.
Didn't the guys from Scream turn up in Twin Peaks? The return. The guy that got locked up in the prison cell. That is him. Right, yeah, yeah.
He is superb in everything he does. He's a fantastic actor, even though he's in the Scream movies.
Wasn't he in a film about a paddle or something? Like up in a.
Are you talking about Without a Paddle Upstream or whatever that film
is? That's the one. Yeah.
In that film as well. That was a terrible movie, but Matthew Lillard is king. Mark, you didn't ask the question. Is your choice Matthew Lillard then? Or do you not find anyone in Scream sexy? Because I personally don't either, apart from Matthew Lillard. But women wise, there's no one for me in Scream.
Hayden Panettiere was in it, wasn't she? If that's how you say her name.
Yes, she was.
Cheerleader from Heroes.
Yes. Oh my God, Rory Culkin's in number 3. Rory Culkin. Rory Culkin is my favourite of the Culkin brothers, and he's my husband, and he's in Scream 3 with the lady you're talking about. Yes. Oh my God, tag team. The Scream 3s were all the hotties bar. Scream 3s were all the hotties bar. Definitely.
Rory Actually, Culkin. The latest ones. There's not the blondes that keep on getting killed in the first little run, but the dark haired ladies that actually survive. It makes sense.
Oh, I can't remember her name, but I know who you mean.
Makes sense.
Of course, I remember now that Drew bites it. She goes really early doors, doesn't she? She's like in the first.
She's doing the kill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot all about that. It was a long time ago.
I don't like the Scream franchise. I think I'm one of the very few people. I mean, I run a horror podcast, and I don't like the Scream franchise. So I don't like the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. So.
Wow!
Once I get people who are fans of those franchises and they want to comment and argue with me, then they can. Because
when Nightmare on Elm Street came out, I was on a school trip to France, and we were driving like the coach drove all night. Yeah, it came all night, and there was like the moon was out, and it was like shining through the window. And my friend started singing the 1-2 Freddy's Coming for You thing, he kept singing it. And I kept saying, "Can you stop it? Can you stop it? Can you?" So I had to punch him in the face. And it's about the only time I've ever sort of resulted in violence before. It was.
Who knew Nightmare on Elm Street was such a trigger for you?
If you turn up dressed as Freddy Krueger, I'm throwing a croissant at you straight away.
I don't want your buttery breaded goods anywhere near me, and I don't like stripes because they make you look wider than you are. And I can't wear hats because my head's a weird shape. So jokes on me for being a freak. No, I don't like Nightmare on Elm Street either. I think it's trash. But talking of all of this, I give Inside like 4 out of 5 as well. It's a fabulous film. It's very well made. And as I said, if you're going to watch any kind of the very extreme French horrors that are out there, there are several. If you're going to watch any of the extreme horrors out there, then I would probably say Inside is actually the best bet to go for in regards to reality, good directing, you know, great plot concepts, good character developments as well. You know, it's a great film. And you know, though, really at the peak of all of this, everyone should just go watch Them. That's a great movie.
Yep.
Yeah, Mark was like, yeah, just click. Yep. Everyone clicks away in unison to go watch a weird Lithuanian film. I think it's Lithuanian.
Have you seen Raw that came out a little while ago?
No, I keep
about the. Yeah, that's really good. It's funny because I had a little look to see back what other French films there were, because I was convinced that that was Spanish or something like that, but apparently that was French. And that was really, really, really good.
Why doesn't it tell me where the film Them came from? Because apparently there's like thousands of versions of this film. They speak French in Them, though, don't they, at points? Because they're like French immigrants to some other country in Europe. It's almost up there. We could have talked about Them, but I think we're scuffling on the reality of it anyway. But
and now,
this
Colin,
is the...
you just need to go and watch Irreversible and you'll be done.
Oh, I don't think I'm watching another horror film.
I feel like me and Mark should do an episode on Firewalk with Me. Like, I feel like that should be literally something we do, because it's almost horror when you think about it. And Colin, if you're traversed in Firewalk with Me, you should come join us, because Firewalk with Me is low-key the greatest film ever. I don't fight me on it, film critic friends. Like, all my fellow co-workers are like, what are you talking about? That weird David Lynch film? And I'm like, yeah, Garmin Bozier. Let's talk about it. Whatever. People are getting killed. Oh, there's a monkey that eats sweet corn backwards. Oh my God, I can't right now. I can't even think about how good that movie is. David Bowie's in it for like 30 seconds. Chris Isaac plays the like cop. Like,
yeah. Did you watch it, Colin? Because you did your rewatch of it, didn't you, recently?
I did. No, I didn't get as far as that one.
Right, Colin, Firewalk with Me is a film about my life, and like, I've never believed that crap when people say, they're like, oh, this film's like reminds me of you, and then like someone, like loads of people said it to me, and a boyfriend was like, yeah, it is you, and I went and watched it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm Laura Palmer. Like, literally, I was just like, this couldn't be more closer to the truth of my life.
So, oh, I'll definitely watch that. I was trending towards it, but then I got.
Oh, let's do a little pod soon on fire. What went made so we can talk about my sad life. No. what am I going to do? I've got to round up the show. Oh, I've got to do my job. Chris, haven't we done well? I know you're listening because you're my boss and you have to. Look how we haven't. Look how we did it. We spoke about films for at least 10 minutes of an hour and a half long show.
It's in there. Go back and check.
It's in there, Chris. Oh, my phone. I nearly dropped it. Oh, God. Anyway, what am I doing? I'm rounding up the show. Okay. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. Next month, I think I'm... Oh, what am I doing next month? I think I'm talking Rob Zombie with my friend Justin again from America. Hi, Justin. Wait. What's next month? This one comes out in September. October. Oh, okay, so no, I'm not. Ian is coming on, I believe, and we're going to do The Crow and 30 Days a Night, I believe.
The Crow. The Crow's great
soundtrack. Yeah.
It's a great soundtrack. No, I think we're going to do The Crow, but Dan wants to do an episode on The Crow with me.
Dan gets all the good ones. He gets to see...
Come on as well. Why are you being like that? All of us, Colin. Now you've got a headset. Mark's set up. You've seen Mark set up. It's bougie. Dan is in a recording studio.
I went out to PC World to get a laptop like an hour and a half ago to compare to do this.
No, you right, Mark.
That's what you do.
Well, if Dan's going to do The Crow, I mean, it's Dan's favourite film. And then perhaps, you know, if anybody's actually still listening to this and they actually want to know how the pot noodle thing turned out, then maybe we could...
we'll resolve that conflict on that podcast. Oh, it's bleak. It's going to get dramatic. Someone's going to have to hand over cash. I think we're doing 30 Days a Night. But then, yeah, of course, then you and me and Dan and Mark, obviously, if you're coming on as well, we'll do The Crow. Because Colin's got a laptop now. He's got a... Mark messaged me and went, maybe he's gone to buy a PC. And I was like, he is rich kind of thing. And then you actually did it. Okay, I haven't... Colin, I'm trying to wrap up the show. I've got time for your money issues. Right.
be a pro. Come on, be a pro. Wrap it up. You've failed to control your guests.
For nearly 10 years. I can do this, right? What am I doing? Right, come on now, Rachel. What are we doing? Remember birds? Oh, I love birds. No, right. Okay. We're talking about 30 Days a Night. Later on, we're going to be talking about The Crow and the problems with the pot noodles. That's going to be resolved in episode November. Obviously, before then, Ian's coming on. We're going to talk about 30 Days a Night. Chris may be there all the way from Scotland. That's amazing. No one cares. Anyway, point being, go follow us on all our socials. We're on UK Film Review at Insta. We're at UK Film Review on Facebook. And you can go on to ukfilmreview.co.uk and you can submit your films if you're a young and up-and-coming director. You can submit anything you want for our film festival that's coming up next year. Heck, if you want to come on and sponsor our show, drop us an email over there. All the details are on the website. website. And once again, thank you so much for joining us. I will be back next month. And of course, as always, go and check out all the rest of our shows on Spotify. We have The Phantom Zone, which stars my boys, Ian and Chris, and their lovely lady and all that fun. We've also got Gay, actually, as well, from Amber. And obviously, we've got all our other homies just doing their stuff, such as Chris and Brian covering some of the more. So everyone go and check us all out on Spotify. And as I always say every month, guys, give us a like and a few stars because it takes a moment for you. And it means the world to us over here at UK Film Review. So once again, it is goodbye from me. It is goodbye from Mark.
Goodbye.
That's the end of the show.
I was trying to make the most of my microphone there. Goodbye.
And cool. It's goodbye from Colin, whose microphone is really loud.
Goodbye.
That was nice. It sounded like you're just crying now. And it's of course goodbye from me. Goodbye, everyone, and I will see you next month.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.